Amen. Well, our Old Testament reading is from 1 Samuel chapter 7. As we continue in our Sunday evening series in the book of 1 Samuel, and where we find these wonderful words of life. 1 Samuel chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. And the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and took up the ark of the Lord and brought it to the house of Abinadab on the hill. And they consecrated his son Eleazar to have charge of the ark of the Lord. From the day that the ark was lodged at Kiriath-Jearim, a long time passed, some 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel said to all the house of Israel, "If you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtaroth from among you and direct your heart to the Lord and serve him only. And he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." So the people of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth and they served the Lord only. Then Samuel said, "Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you." So they gathered at Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, "We have sinned against the Lord." And Samuel judged the people of Israel at Mizpah. Now when the Philistines heard that the people of Israel had gathered at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the people of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the people of Israel said to Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord our God for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." So Samuel took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. And Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. As Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to attack Israel. But the Lord thundered with a mighty sound that day against the Philistines and threw them into confusion, and they were routed before Israel. And the men of Israel went out from Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and struck them as far as below Beth Kar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpah and Shin and called its name Ebenezer. For he said, "Till now the Lord has helped us." So the Philistines were subdued and did not again enter the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. The cities that the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron to Gath, and Israel delivered their territory from the hand of the Philistines. There was peace also between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went on a circuit year by year to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and he judged Israel in all these places. Then he would return to Ramah, for his home was there, and there also he judged Israel, and he built there an altar to the Lord. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let's look to our God once again in prayer. Our loving Father and our God, we give you thanks for the witness of ancient Israel, as they raised their Ebenezer and said, "Thus far, the Lord has helped us." How much more with the coming and passion and victory of your Son should we echo that hymn of praise and declare, "Thus far, you have helped us." And we trust you are going to go right on helping us until Christ comes again. Strengthen our faith in these moments to that glorious end by the power of your Holy Spirit. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Well, some 20 years had passed from the time that the boy, Samuel, wearing one of those robes hand-stitched by his mother, Hannah, prophesied to Eli concerning the end of Eli's priestly dynasty. In fulfillment of that prophecy, the Philistines had defeated the Israelites. Eli and his sons had died, and the Ark of the Lord had been captured by the Israelites. And then after the Lord's hand was heavy against the Philistines, wherever they took the Ark was returned to the Israelites. For 20 years, there had been no word from the Lord until the Spirit of God moved Samuel once again. And now, with a much deeper voice than before, Samuel spoke on behalf of God. This time he spoke to Israel as a nation on God's behalf. And amazingly, we see a wonderful picture here, really, of repentance, revival, refreshment, a turning back to God through Samuel's ministry. And this should cause us not to lose heart. God blesses his means. Through Samuel's ministry, Israel returned to the Lord. It was a work of God's grace. Israel returned to the Lord. They experienced his victory as the result. And through Samuel, their leader, Israel raised an Ebenezer to the Lord. The term Ebenezer in verse 12 is from two Hebrew words, Eben, which means stone, and Ezer, or Azer, which means help. The term Ezer is the same term used in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 18, for example, when God said, you know, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper, an Ezer, or an Azer, fit for him, or corresponding to him. As the King James puts it, a help, an Azer, meet for him. In other words, just right, suitable for him. So this Ebenezer was a stone of help, a stone that served as a monument to the fact that the Lord had helped Israel in the past. Of course, they were thinking not only of the distant past and, you know, the calling of Abraham and all the way through to the Exodus and the deliverance into the promised land, but the recent past and their deliverance from the Philistines as they called out to the Lord. They were erecting this monument to the fact that the Lord had helped them in the past, and as a sign that he would go right on helping them in the future as they trusted him. This was not a sandcastle of help to be washed away by the rain. It was a stone of help, signifying that God was going to keep helping them in the future. It was a monument to the truth of Psalm 121, for example. The Psalms often use this term, Ezer, help, with reference to the Lord. But Psalm 121 begins with saying, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help, my Ezer, come? My help, my Ezer, is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. That's what this monument communicated regarding Israel's God and Israel's faith in that God. So let's consider and apply this theme under two headings this evening: Israel's Ebenezer and ours. First, Israel's Ebenezer. How did they go from lament, you know, 20 years of lamentation, of grief because they were being sorely oppressed by the Philistines? How did they go from lament because of their losses to and subjugation to the Philistines to the raising of their Ebenezer in triumph and celebration? Well, it was a journey, wasn't it? With specific means to that end of raising the Ebenezer. Let's note three means through which they arrived to raising that Ebenezer. First, they returned to God through repentance and faith. They returned to God through repentance or faith, or faith and repentance. Samuel called them to do so. So we see the word of the Lord being effective in calling them to this renewed faith in the Lord and repentance from sin. Samuel called them to this faith and repentance. To borrow the language of our catechism this evening, he told them that they were in a state of misery because they were in a state of sin. So they mustn't just lament the misery, they must lament the sin that got them into the miserable condition they found themselves in. He called them to return to the Lord with all their hearts, which necessarily means turning away from false gods. Our God is a jealous God in the purest sense of that word. He is zealous for his own glory. He's jealous for the worship of his people. Remember, the whole point of the Exodus was what? Let my people go that they may worship me. That's the whole point of redemption. We're set free in order to serve, that is, to worship our God. Set free from what? Set free from idols. From the misery and the bondage of idolatry. And so every call to worship the one true and living God, in every call to worship, the beginning of our worship service is Sunday morning, Sunday evening. In every call to worship, there is an implied call to repentance. Because to return to the worship of the one true and living God is to repent of all those idols that we sought refuge in the week before that proved to be nothing but mirages that would not satisfy our souls. Idols that will not satisfy our souls, that cannot save us, that cannot give us ultimate meaning and purpose and joy. And so a call to worship the true God is a call to turn to that God away from gods that will not satisfy and find in the true God life and abundance and victory. That is what Samuel was doing in his word to the Israelites. He was calling them to put away the worship of idols and calling them to seek God with all their heart. And by grace, I mean, we see a miracle of grace here. By grace, that is what they did. I mean, it's put so simply, it's sort of understated here. Samuel says, stop serving idols and serve God only. And then Samuel, or whoever wrote this chapter, said they stopped serving idols and served God only. I mean, it sounds so simple. But we know that that is a work of God's free and sovereign grace. When somebody is set free from idolatry and worships the true and living God, they put away the Baals and the Ashtaroth, in other words, all the idols of the Philistines that had seduced them, and served the Lord only. The word translated as served in verse 4 could be translated as worship. They worshiped the Lord as they had been created and redeemed to do. Those false gods had not created them. Those false gods had not redeemed them from the hand of Pharaoh. God had created them. God had redeemed them. They returned to him in worship and devotion. As Paul said of the Thessalonian Christians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 9, they turned to God from idols to serve, that also could be translated worship, to serve the living and true God. Now, notice the order there as Paul puts it. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9. They turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. There is great gospel truth in the order, as Paul puts it there. For it is only when we turn to the true God that we truly repent of idolatry. You can't say, I'm going to stop idolizing this thing over here or this person over here, and saying, if, you know, idolatry, one form of idolatry is saying, if and when I get this thing, whatever it might be, then I'll be happy. That's idolatry. If and when I get this thing. So we can't turn from that until we, what? We can't really turn from that until we do what? Lord, I'm looking to you alone to satisfy my soul and give me true heavenly happiness in you. When we do that, guess what we've just done? We've repented of idolatry in a way that's actually going to give victory in our lives. They turned to God from idols to serve, not just to just stop serving false gods, but to serve the living and true God. So that was the first thing we should notice. The road to raising the Ebenezer came through their faith in and renewed worship of the true God, which if you do that, you're necessarily repenting of idolatry. They turn from false gods as they turn back to the real and true God. The second means we see on the road to raising the Ebenezer is Samuel's prayers on their behalf. Samuel's prayers on their behalf. Samuel served a number of roles for Israel. He served a prophetic role, as we've already seen tonight, bringing the word of God to them. And as we heard tonight, he served as a judge for Israel, deciding disputes between them and leading them. So in a sense, he served a kingly role as the period of the judges came to an end, and through Samuel himself, the era of the kings was inaugurated. And he served a priestly role interceding on behalf of Israel. Now don't forget, in that regard, the meaning of Samuel's name. Samuel means heard of God. Hannah cried out to the Lord for a son. The Lord heard her. She named her son Heard of God. So Samuel, from an early age, knew the power of prayer. And so he tells Israel, I will pray for you. I'm going to intercede for you. And I actually believe God's going to hear and answer my requests on your behalf. He, leading Israel to do so, poured out water before the Lord. What did that mean? That symbolized a soul poured out before God in prayer and in dependence on God. Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 19 says, arise, pour out your hearts like water to the Lord. Lift up your hands to him in prayer. So that is what Samuel did on Israel's behalf. He prayed and he fasted. He poured out his heart to the Lord for Israel's deliverance. He confessed their sin, knowing that God was willing to forgive. And when the people of Israel gathered to pray and confess their sins with him at Mizpah, the Philistines went up against them, and the people of Israel were afraid. Understandably so. They had been routed twice by the Philistines and subjected to them for 20 years. And so here they come again. And so Israel, understandably, is afraid. But they did the right thing. They asked their intercessor, Samuel, "Do not cease to cry out to the Lord for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines." They knew where to look. They asked Samuel to intercede to God on their behalf. Now, interestingly enough, the phrase "save us" in verse 8 is, guess what Hebrew phrase that's from? "Save us" in verse 8 is from the same Hebrew word from which we get that Palm Sunday prayer, "Hosanna." The people of Israel said to Samuel, in effect, "Cry, Hosanna, on our behalf, and the Lord will save us from our enemies." And of course, Samuel was faithful to pray, "Hosanna," and the Lord was faithful to save. So, Israel's faith and repentance, Samuel's prayers, and third, Samuel did something very important in order for Israel to experience the Lord's salvation. Namely, he took a nursing lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. A lamb could be sacrificed to the Lord as early as 8 days old. And the purpose of such an offering as this, a whole burnt offering, was to make atonement for sin. As Samuel was making the offering, what the Philistines tried to do? They tried to attack. Ruthless people. They tried to attack. But it was no use. The Lord thundered from heaven, sent them into a panic, and routed them that day. The Philistines, listen very carefully to this, the Philistines were no match for the lamb. The road to Ebenezer had been paved. There was no turning back. Paved through Israel's faith and repentance, Samuel's prayers, and the sacrificial lamb, and of course, God's grace working through it all. So Samuel set up a stone of help, an Ebenezer, and said, "Till now, the Lord has helped us." So first, Israel's Ebenezer, and in the second place, ours. With the coming of Christ, how much more can we raise our Ebenezer and say, "Thus far, the Lord has helped us." And we know he's going to go right on helping us until Christ comes again. He will not forsake his church. He's going to go right on helping us until Christ comes again. The road to such joyful celebration was foreshadowed in Israel's road to their Ebenezer. The means really are the same today, aren't they? Repentance and faith, prayer, and a sacrificial lamb. Turning to God from all that will never satisfy. Calling unto God, "Hosanna, Lord, save us by your grace." And receiving God's means of atonement, his means of having all our sins washed away. That nursing lamb that Samuel sacrificed on behalf of Israel could not ultimately take away their sins. As Hebrews 10:4 says, the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sins. It's only the blood of Jesus And so we must receive the blood of that lamb by faith to wash away all our sins. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If you have never received him, may today be the day that you say, Hosanna. Hosanna, Lord, save me. Lord Jesus, Lamb of God, I am yours. Save me. And he will. He will. Whoever, that includes you, no matter what you've done, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So may you call upon him today for salvation. And may you be saved by his grace. And for all who do call upon his name and who love his name and who receive his free salvation, who are not trusting in your works, and when you find yourself trusting in your works, say, stop that. And you say, I need Jesus. I can't atone for my sins. I can't atone for my shortcomings. I need the blood of the Lamb. All who are trusting in the blood of the Lamb, let us raise our Ebenezer of thanksgiving and praise in all we do. Through our lives, let us say, thus far, the Lord has helped me. And I live with confidence knowing that he will go right on helping me until he returns or takes me home. As Jesus said to the joyless religionists of his day, if my disciples are silent, the very stones will cry out. For ancient Israel, the stone of help cried out as a testimony to God's grace. Let us, as living stones, offer our lives in ceaseless praise as Ebenezers, praising God for his saving grace to us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.